Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Yom Tov, Perek Bet. This perek goes into detail about the concept of muktzah as it applies on Yom Tov, especially the aspect of muktzah called hachana, which is unique to Yom Tov, as we saw in Perek Aleph. Any food meant to be consumed on Yom Tov must be set aside for this purpose, muchan, in advance of Yom Tov. We begin with the last halacha of Perek Aleph, which we didn't get to in the last shiur. This halacha relates to Muchan, the main topic of our perek, and also to the concept of Yom Tov Sheni, which came up earlier in Perek Aleph, and which we will have further occasion to mention in today's shiur. Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf Dalet. Shnei yamim tovim elu shel galuyot, shtei kedushotein, ve'inan ki yom echad. Lefichach, davar shehaya muktzeh biyom tov rishon, o shnolad barishon, im hechinoto lasheni, harei zemutar. Ketzad, beitza shnolda barishon, teachel basheni. Chaya va'ov shnitzodu barishon, yeachlu basheni. Davar hamechubar lakarka, shnakar barishon, yeachel basheni. The 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz have the status of shtei kedushot, two distinct entities, each one a day of Kodesh in its own right. We saw this concept in Hilchot Eruvin Perek Chet, with applications for making Eruvei Tchumin. The application here is that the first of the 2 days counts as hachana for the second. Therefore, even a food which was muktzah or nolad on the first day may be used on the second day if it is set aside for this purpose on the first day. Specifically, an egg laid on the first day may be eaten on the second day. An animal trapped on the first day may be eaten on the second day, and a food which was attached to the ground when the first day began, but became detached later the same day, may be eaten on the second day. We can immediately ask the following question. Back in Hilchot Eruvin, the Rambam referred even to Shabbat and Yom Tov adjacent to each other, meaning Yom Tov falls on Friday or Sunday, as a case of shtei kedushot, and therefore one may set up separate Eruvei Tchumen for the 2 days. But when it comes to Hachana, the Rambam wrote earlier in Perek Aleph that Ein Yom Tov Mechin LeShabbat, Velo Shabbat Mechina LeYom Tov. Therefore, an egg laid on a Friday Yom Tov is still Muktzah on Shabbat, and an egg laid on Shabbat is still Muktzah on a Sunday Yom Tov, as the Rambam writes explicitly in the last lines of our Halacha. So why is the case of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galuyot any different? Just calling it Shtei Kedushot clearly isn't enough. The answer, as the Gemara in Masechet Beitza makes clear, and as we saw in Hilchot Eruvin, but we'll discuss further in Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, is that Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galuyot have another important feature which is critical here. Only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov. We just don't know which one. Therefore, an egg laid on the first day isn't muktzah on the second day. If the first day is the real Yom Tov, then the second day is chol, and of course the egg may be eaten. If the second day is the real Yom Tov, then the first day is chol, and so the egg was laid before Yom Tov, and is considered muchan. The Rambam goes on to say that this is only true of 2 Yomim Tovim Shel Galuyot, not the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which, as we discussed in Hilchot Eruvin, have the status of Kedusha Achat, one long day of 48 hours. B'me Devarim Amurim, B'Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galuyot, Aval Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah, Kedusha Achatein, Uchiyom Echad Chashuvin Lechol Elu Hadvarim, Ela Li'inyan HaMeit Bilvad, Aval Beitza Shnolda Barishon Shel Rosh Hashanah, Asura Basheni, V'chein Kol Kayotze Bazeh. Because of this critical distinction between Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Galuyot and Rosh Hashanah, an egg laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is forbidden on the second. The 48 hours of Rosh Hashanah are considered Kedusha Achat, one long uniform block of Kedusha, and so we can't apply the argument from before of which day is the real Yom Tov. The only manner in which the second day of Rosh Hashanah is distinguished from the first day is with regard to burial. As we saw in Halacha Chaf Gimel, whenever Chazal established a second day of Yom Tov, they left an exemption to bury a dead body in order to prevent a situation of bizui hamet, desecration of the corpse. We will have occasion to return to this case of the egg laid on the first day of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galuyot when we get to Perek Vav, and see the Rambam's psak there about the nature of these 2 days in our time. For now, though, we proceed to Perek Bet. Halacha Aleph. Efroach shenolad biyom tov asur mitnei shehu mukze. Ve'egel shenolad biyom tov im hayta imo omedet la'achila mutar mitnei shehu muchan al gav imo. Ve'ilu shachat imo haya zeh shebemeiha mutar biyom tov af al pi shelo nolad. A chick which hatches on Yom Tov is mukze, as it was not muchan for eating while still in its egg the day before. But if a calf is born on Yom Tov to a mother which was omedet l'achila, it was meant to be eaten at some point, which is enough to be considered muchan, then since the mother was muchan from before Yom Tov, the calf is permitted as well. After all, even if the calf hadn't been born, the mother could have been slaughtered, and the calf inside its womb would have been permitted to eat. Therefore, even the calf is permitted muchan. Halacha bet, behemot shiyotzot veroot chutz latchum, uvaot velanot betoch hatchum, hare ilu muchanin, velokchin mehen veshochatin otan biyom tov. Aval shiroot velanot chutz latchum, im ba'u biyom tov, ein shochatin otan, mipnei shehen mukze, ve'ein dat anshei ha'ir alehen. Are animals which wander out to graze for days at a time considered muchan if they return home on Yom Tov? It depends where they sleep overnight while they are out grazing. If they sleep within the tchum of the owner's city, then they are considered muchan, because the owner could, in theory, go take one of them on Yom Tov in order to slaughter and eat it. But if they sleep outside his tchum, then they are muktzah, as he has no way to reach them on Yom Tov, and he puts them out of his mind for the remainder of the day. Halacha Gimel. V'chein behemat kodshim, shnolad ba mum biyom tov, ho'il v'lo hayta dato aleh me'erev yom tov, asur l'shachata biyom tov, lefichach asur lirot mumei kodshim biyom tov, gzera shema yatirena chacham, b'muman, v'yavo ze lishchot bo bayom, aval ro'ehu hamum me'erev yom tov, ulmachar matir o oser. This halacha deals with an animal, which is either a bechor or maser behema, and therefore should be offered as a korban. If either one develops a mum, a blemish, then it must be checked by an expert, a mumche, who determines if the mum indeed disqualifies the animal from being offered as a korban. If it does, then the animal can be shechted and eaten, the bechor by a kohen, and the maaser behema by its owner. Clearly, if the animal only develops a mum on Yom Tov, then it may not be eaten that day, in any event, because it is mukse, since before Yom Tov it was still supposed to be offered as a korban. Therefore, Chazal made a gzera forbidding a mumche from examining a mum on Yom Tov, lest he conclude that the mum indeed allows the animal to be slaughtered, and the owner will slaughter this mukta animal on Yom Tov. The Ravid adds, and the Magen Mishnah believes that the Rambam agrees, that even if the mum appeared before Yom Tov, so that the animal is arguably not mukta because the owner knew of the mum in advance, the gzera still applies, and the mumche may not check it. However, if the mumche examined the animal before Yom Tov, he may leave until Yom Tov itself the final determination of whether it may be slaughtered and eaten. This determination may depend on some other factors, which we'll learn at a later point and won't get into here. Halacha Dalid includes several cases in which an animal develops a mum or falls into a pit or off a roof. And we'll learn together three interesting cases starting from the middle of the halacha. Bechor shnafal labor, oselo parnasa bimkomo. Share eino yachol lehaloto mipnei sheino ra'u lishchita biyom tov. Oto vepeno shnaflu labor, ma'ale et harishon amanat l'shachato, ve'eino shochto, umarim umale et hashini amanat l'shochto, v'shochet et eze mehen shirtze, mishum tsar balei chayim hitiru laharim. We learned in the last halacha of Hilchot Shabbat Perakaf Hei what to do when an animal falls into a pit on Shabbat. Ideally, we'd like to get the animal out of the pit, in order to avoid tsar balei chayim. But a live animal is muktza on Shabbat, and so we can't just pull it out. The listener is referred to that halacha for the details of what may be done instead. On Yom Tov, assuming the animal which fell into the pit is omedet l'achila, it is considered muchan and may be pulled out of the pit. But if the animal is a bechor or maaser behema, then it isn't muchan, even if it developed a mum when it fell into the pit, because before Yom Tov it was supposed to be offered as a korban, as we explained in the last halacha. Therefore, we give the animal food and drink while it remains in the pit. Now suppose that two animals who are mother and child, both of which are omdot l'achila, and neither one a korban, fall into a pit on Yom Tov. The problem here is that we cannot claim that both are muchan for Yom Tov, because it is forbidden to slaughter both the mother and her young on the same day. This is the well-known isser of otov et beno. But Chazal allow in this case being ma'arim, using a subterfuge to get both out of the pit. One may take the first animal out of the pit, ostensibly in order to slaughter and eat it, then decide against it and take out the other animal. And once both animals are out of the pit, he may decide which one he wants to eat. In order to avoid a situation of tsar balei chayim, Chazal permitted a harama in this case. Halacha Dalid ends with an interesting case which we will have occasion to refer to in the next perek. Behemat chulin shnafla min hagag varehi tzricha b'dika shochtinota biyom tov v'tibadek efshar shetimatzek shtira v'teachel. If an animal which isn't a korban falls off a roof and may possibly have become a trefa as a result, it may be shechted on Yom Tov and examined. Even though the animal may be a trefa, in which case the shechita was not melechet ochel nefesh, it may nonetheless be shechted on the chance that it is kosher. As we'll see in the next perek, the custom developed to take a stricter approach regarding a suffix trefa on Yom Tov. The next few halachot give more details about when animals are considered muchan on Yom Tov, and we'll summarize some of the details. Fowl, like chicken, geese, and doves, are considered muchan if they are kept in the house. But if they are stored elsewhere, like doves in a dovecote, a shovach, then they must be verbally specified in advance of Yom Tov. Even though the entire requirement of muchan is rabbinic, the rule is safek muchan asur. We are machmir in any case of doubtful hachana. Why? The Magen Mishnah explains that this is a davar sheish lamatirin, as the food or animal will in any event become permitted after Yom Tov, and just like a davar sheish lamatirin is not batel in a tarovet, as we mentioned in the last perek, we are also machmir in a case of suffik involving a davar sheish lamatirin. Alternatively, the Magen Mishnah suggests, since the entire concept of muchan is meant to ensure that people take Yom Tov as seriously as Shabbat, despite the weaker iser melacha, as we saw in the last perek, Chazal forbade even safek muchan. Whatever the reason for this chumrah, it means that when one sets aside certain doves in the shovach to use on Yom Tov, he must be sure that the ones he ultimately takes on Yom Tov are the same ones he set aside. Even if he set aside light-colored doves in compartment A of the shovach and dark ones in compartment B, and finds on Yom Tov dark-colored doves in compartment A and light-colored ones in B, he may not assume that they switch places. It may be that the original doves flew away, and all of these are new ones. Because of the safek, he may not use these doves on Yom Tov at all. Let's read together the beginning of Halacha Zayin. Dagim shebebivarin gedolim, v'chein chayav ha'ov shebebivarin gedolim, kol shehu mechusar tzeda ad shomrin havei mitzudab umtzudenu, hareza mukze ve'ein tzadinotam biyom tov, v'imtzad lo ye'achlu. If an animal is located on a person's property, but is kept in a large area in which it can roam freely, and the only way to apprehend it in order to eat it is by trapping it first, like a fish in a large pool or a deer in a large fenced area, then this animal is muktzeh because it isn't considered muchan from before Yom Tov. Note the implication of this halacha, which relates to the major topic of the last perek. The melacha of trapping, tzeda, is fundamentally permitted on Yom Tov, on a d'oraita level, and the only problem is the rabbinic one of muktze, because the animal isn't muchan. This is consistent with the Rambam's general opinion that any melacha done for ochel nefesh purposes is permitted mi d'oraita on Yom Tov. In contrast, the Ramban believes that trapping tzeda is aser mi d'oraita on Yom Tov because it qualifies as melechet avodah. Only melacho typically done for the purpose of immediate consumption may be performed on Yom Tov, not trapping an animal, which, like harvesting grain, separating it, and grinding it into flour, is typically done far in advance of eating and therefore is aser mi d'oraita. Halacha Chet says that if an animal trap was set up before Yom Tov, and one finds an animal trapped in it on Yom Tov, that animal is permitted for use only if we know for sure that it was trapped before Yom Tov began. Halacha Tet is a case involving fruit, which is omed l'achila, but is stored in a locked warehouse to which one has no access on Yom Tov. If the wall or ceiling of the warehouse is breached, making the fruit inside accessible on Yom Tov, then the fruit is permitted for use. As the Magen Mishnah explains, quoting the Ramban, since the fruit themselves are muchan, because they are omdim l'achila, the fact that they are in an ostensibly inaccessible location when Yom Tov begins does not remove their muchan status. And if they become accessible on Yom Tov, one is permitted to eat them. We continue with Halacha Yud, about a non-Jew who brings food to a Jew on Yom Tov. Goy shehivi teshura liYisrael biYom Tov, im yesh me'oto hamin bimchubar lakarka, o shehivi chaya o ofot o dagim shefshar letzudan bo bayom, hare elu asurin ad la'erev, v'yamtin michdei shiyasu. If a non-Jew brings some food as a gift for a Jew on Yom Tov, and the food is something which could have been picked from the ground or from a tree on Yom Tov itself, or if it is an animal which could have been trapped on Yom Tov, then the gift is forbidden until Yom Tov ends that night, and the recipient must additionally wait b'chdei shiyasu. Recall this concept from Hilchot Shabbat Perek Vav. When a non-Jew does malacha for the benefit of a Jew on Shabbat or on Yom Tov, the Jew must wait not only until Motzei Shabbat, but also beyond that point, as much time as it would take to do the malacha himself after Shabbat ends. The reason for this is to take away any incentive to ask the non-Jew to do the malacha on Shabbat. If it were permitted to benefit immediately after Shabbat, the incentive to ask him would remain, as the Jew who makes the request saves the time it would take him to do the malacha himself after Shabbat ends. There is a very interesting debate between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in a situation where the non-Jew brings a gift on the first day of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galiot. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the gift may be used by the Jew on the second night of Yom Tov, after B'chdei Shiyasu. The explanation is straightforward, and brings to mind the similar case of an egg laid on the first day from the end of Perek Aleph, which we discussed at the start of today's shiur. Only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov. If the first day is Yom Tov, then of course the gift should be permitted after B'chdei Shiyasu at the end of the first day, as we explained. If the second day is Yom Tov, then the gift should be permitted during the entire second day, as it was Mukhan from the day before, which is really Chol. Either way, it is permitted after B'chdei Shiyasu on the second night. But as convincing as this explanation is, the Ramah points out a problem. The entire point of the Gzeira of B'chdei Shiyasu is to remove any incentive to ask the non-Jew to perform Melacha. If the gift is permitted on the second night of Yom Tov, then this incentive very much remains, as the Jew on his own would have no way to do the malacha until almost a full day later, after the second day of Yom Tov ends. Therefore, the Ramah rules that the gift may not be used until after B'chdei Shiyasu on Motzai Yom Tov Sheni. This is a fascinating machloket about how to weigh different halachic considerations against each other. On the one hand, the unique nature of Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galiot, and on the other hand, the practical purpose of the Gzeira of B'chdei Shiyasu. Interestingly, the Ramah is lenient in the following case. If the 2 days of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galiot are Thursday and Friday, and the non-Jew brings a gift on Thursday, then it is permissible on Shabbat. The Mishnah Berurah explains that in this case, the Gzeira doesn't apply, as it is unlikely that a Jew would ask a non-Jew to bring something for him 2 days in advance of when he would be allowed to use it. In any event, even the Shulchan Aruch agrees that if the non-Jew brings the gift on a Friday Yom Tov, so Yom Tov is followed immediately by Shabbat, or on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then the gift is prohibited until after B'chdei Shiyasu at the end of the second day. As in both these cases, it is not true that only one of the 2 days is really Yom Tov, as we explained regarding the last halacha of Perek Aleph. The continuation of Halacha Yud says that if the gift brought by the non-Jew was clearly not picked or trapped on Yom Tov, either because the item is not available anywhere in the vicinity, or because its appearance indicates that it was prepared earlier, then it may be used on Yom Tov, assuming that it was brought from within the Tchum. But if it came from outside the Tchum, then it is forbidden. Any gift brought for one Jew may be used on Yom Tov itself by another Jew, as the Gzeira of B'chdei Shiyasu only applies, based on the internal logic of the Gzeira, to the person for whom the gift was brought. The next few halachot discuss muktza in the context of materials used to make a fire. Branches which fell off a tree on Yom Tov are considered nolad and may not be used on their own, but if they fell into an oven, then one may add to them a greater quantity of wood which is mukhan and light the entire mixture. If a beam, which broke off from a building or which is usable for building, breaks on Yom Tov, the pieces may not be used as firewood, as they are muktzah, because the beam was not intended for this use before Yom Tov. The same is true of pieces of kalim which break on Yom Tov, but one may use as kindling intact kalim, which aren't muktzah at all, even though their intended use was not as firewood, or pieces of kalim which break before Yom Tov. Let's read together the second half of Halacha Yud Bet, where there is an interesting feature which is extremely rare in the Mishnah Torah. Kayotze bo, egozin ushkedin sha'achalan me'erev yom tov, masikin b'klipehen b'yom tov, v'im achalan b'yom tov, ein masikin b'klipehen. V'yesh nuscha'ot sh'yesh behen, shim achalan mi'ba'erev, ein masikin b'klipehen, sha'arei huktzu, v'im achalan b'yom tov, masikin, mipnei she'in muchanin al gav ha'ochel. May one use nutshells as kindling to make a fire on Yom Tov? It depends on whether the nuts were eaten and the shells left over before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov itself. The Rambam first says, similar to the case of broken kelim, that if the shells were left over before Yom Tov, then they may be used, as they are considered muchan from before Yom Tov. But if the nuts were only eaten on Yom Tov, then the shells are muktzeh. He then adds, however, that yesh nuscha'ot, there are texts of the Talmud which say the opposite. If the nuts were eaten before Yom Tov, then by default they are meant to be thrown out, and so in the absence of specific intent to use them as kindling, they are not considered muchan. However, if nuts are eaten on Yom Tov itself, then the shells are considered muchan because they started Yom Tov as part of the nuts themselves, similar to the case from the beginning of the perek of the calf, which is considered muchan because it is part of its muchan mother. The Ravid categorically rejects the second version of this halacha in favor of the first. It is extremely rare for the Rambam to acknowledge in the Mishneh Torah the existence of multiple versions of the Talmudic text, and to quote both versions. As we discussed in our introductory shiurim, the Rambam's purpose in the Mishneh Torah is to reach firm and clear conclusions without reference to sources. The fact that he quotes here both versions indicates that this is a rare instance in which he does not have any basis to decide between them. We summarize Halachot Yud Gimel through Tedvav. A moist thorn branch is muktzeh because it isn't dry enough to light as firewood, and therefore can't be used even for other purposes like as a spit on which to roast meat. Branches left out in the field are considered muktzeh, but branches leaning against the wall of a sukkah are considered muchan, as are those collected in a reshut hayachid, even a karpef in which carrying is forbidden, if this reshut hayachid is secured with a lock and is located within Tchum Shabbat. But if the branches are small and easily blown away by the wind, then they are muktzeh even if collected in a reshut hayachid, as one does not assume that they will remain there, unless he puts a heavy kli on top of these branches before Yom Tov in order to secure them in place. We continue with Halacha Tet Zayin. Behema shemeta b'Yom Tov, im haita mesukenet me'erav Yom Tov, hareza mechatcha laklavim. V'im lav, ho'il v'lo haita dato aleha, harezo muktzeh, v'lo yizizena mimkoma. Behemat kodshim shemeta utruma shenitmet, lo yizizena mimkoma. If an animal was close to death before Yom Tov and dies on Yom Tov, then it is considered muchan as animal food and may be cut up and fed to dogs. But if it wasn't close to death before Yom Tov, then the owner did not intend to use it on Yom Tov, except perhaps to eat, which is impossible now that it has died without shechita. And so the carcass is muktzeh and may not be moved. An animal dedicated as a korban needs in general to be burnt if it dies before it can be offered, as does truma, which becomes tamei and thus unfit for consumption. But as we'll see in the next perek, one may not burn kodshim and truma on Yom Tov, and so if the animal dies or the truma becomes tameya on Yom Tov, then these are muktzeh and may not be moved until the end of Yom Tov. Halacha Yud Zayin adds that any live animal which is muktzeh, because it isn't omedet la'achila, may not be fed on Yom Tov or given anything to drink, as a gzera, lest the person doing this come to take and use the animal. Halacha Yud Chet, hamachnis afar me'erev Yom Tov, im yiched lo b'chatziro keren zavit, harei ze muchan, umutar letatelo v'lasot bo kol tzrachav, v'chein efer shehusak me'erev Yom Tov, muchan. V'shehusak b'yom tov, kol zman shu cham k'dei litzlot bo beitza, mutar letaltelo, sh'adayin eshu, v'im lav, asur letaltelo, mipnei shehu nolad. If one wishes to use dirt on Yom Tov, for example, for the mitzvah of kisui hadam, if he plans to shecht a chicken or some other fowl on Yom Tov, as we'll learn about at the start of the next perek, he can prepare a pile of dirt for this purpose by collecting it in advance of Yom Tov in some specific corner of his chatzer. Any ashes left over from a fire which was lit before Yom Tov are considered muchan. If a fire was lit on Yom Tov itself, then the ashes may be used as long as they are warm enough to roast an egg inside them, as at this heat, the ashes are still considered a fire. But if the ashes are not this hot, then they are considered nolad, as they were created on Yom Tov through the burning of firewood or other kindling, and may not be used or even carried on Yom Tov. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.